This week, Americans are grieving another mass shooting of children and teachers at an elementary school. Tuesday night, hours after the massacre in Uvalde, Texas, the president compared gun violence in this country to others.
These kinds of mass shootings rarely happen anywhere else in the world. Why? They have mental health problems. They have domestic disputes in other countries. They have people who are lost. But these kinds of mass shootings never happen with the kind of frequency they happen in America. Why?
Let's hear now a perspective from someone who lives outside of the U.S. Journalist Maria Ressa joins us. She runs the Filipino news site Rappler. She has been a consistent target of the Filipino government for doing journalism, arrested twice last year, convicted of cyber libel. But she has stood firm among all this and last year was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her work. Maria Ressa, thank you so much for being here. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
And I have a lot that I want to talk to you about, but why don't we start with the shooting in Texas? We heard President Biden there say this kind of violence rarely happens outside of the United States. How does news like this land at home in the Philippines and elsewhere?
As always, shock, but the same question, you know. And then I've been looking at our information ecosystem and looked at the extreme increased levels, exponential increase of violence. So I look at it in two ways. You know, the first is that we're pumping hate into our information ecosystem. It's triggering anger. And we've known this for many years now, that online violence is real-world violence. I mean, maybe not Uvalde, but if you take a look at Buffalo, he was in it, like the Christchurch shootings, which was many years ago, and there was a Christchurch call. This was sparked by online radicalization, right? So we begin there. And then, of course, the United States has its own. I mean, you have the meeting going on with the NRA right now. You have your bipartisan politics that's tearing you apart more than the polarization that we're experiencing online.
And yet many journalists working in the United States, I think, have become numb to some of this in a sense. So if you were running a newsroom in the United States with these fresh outside eyes, would you have a different approach to the coverage?
I would go to the root causes. So much of our coverage, and this is the same in every other part of the world, looks at the downstream effects. You know, like, for example, again, you'll talk about each of the violence, but you have to move further upstream. Where does it begin? And the easiest place, again, is that I think the spark to all of this is the online, this toxic sludge that is poisoning every one of us online, more than 3.2 billion now, right, globally. And you have seen attacks increase, genocide in Myanmar. And so I move further up, right? I would look at the impact of technology, how technology polarizes and radicalizes, and then take a look. Strangely enough, I started in covering terrorism. And this is a different type of terrorism, but it's the same kind of pushing us to the extremes and emerging in real-world violence.
Let's take a look at your home country. You work and live in the Philippines. There has just been a landslide victory for Ferdinand Marcos Jr. This is the son of a brutal dictator by the same name who ruled the Philippines from 1965 to 1986. The legislature just confirmed his victory this week. Tell me, what was the feeling in your newsroom on election night?
We fell off the cliff. 36 years after the People Power Revolt sparked democracy movements all around the world, after that family was ousted and chased to Hawaii, you know, he is back by an overwhelming mandate. And again, I'll go back. How did it begin? It begins in our minds. It begins, there's this great quote by Milan Kundera. He said, "The struggle of man against power is the struggle of memory against forgetting." Well, disinformation, you know, as early as 2014, disinformation networks linked to the Marcoses began to shift our our history in plain sight. And I
is
guess,
that how it's possible that someone so closely connected to a dictator would win an election in a landslide? I mean, that's what's so hard to grapple with here.
The namesake of the dictator, you know, a man who himself had to face charges, and actually, like India's Prime Minister Modi, he can't travel to the United States as an individual, but as a democratically elected head of state, now he can, right? So yes, definitely, this is, look, we fell off the cliff in 2022. I mean, in 2016, the election of Rodrigo Duterte was the beginning of the dominoes. That was the first of the dominoes to fall. It was followed shortly, like a month later, by Brexit. Then you had the elections all around the world. Catalonia, Donald Trump in November, Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil. So that was kind of the beginning of the rise of these autocratic populists. And then now, with Marcos back, I think we fell off the cliff. And the question is, you know, it goes back to, how can we have elections? There are more than 30 of them. You will have elections, midterms in November. But how can you have elections if you don't have integrity of facts? That's the first question. And then the second question is the technology that is delivering the news to us. Facebook is the world's largest delivery platform for news. It actually, they put their thumb on the scale. And as early as 2018, we know that lies laced with anger and hate spreads faster and further than facts, which are really boring, no matter how wonderful your voice sounds. You know, it's like, it's, and so if you don't have facts, you can't have truth. If you don't have truth, you don't have trust. Without those, you don't have a shared reality where we can begin to think and solve problems together. You don't have democracy.
Exactly. So is the Philippines still a democracy?
Oh, that's a, I think TBD, right? You're going to, I mean, President-elect Marcos held a press conference, and I'm going to put that in quotes if you look at the Rappler headlines. He invited only three, and I hesitate to say news groups, but, you know, one organization just recently got its franchise, and it is a religious network. So two of them are religious, one owned by a man, the pastor of Duterte, who is wanted by the FBI for sex trafficking. The second one is also a religious network, and the third is the most legitimate of those. So the rest of the news organizations just watched. No questions were asked about human rights violations, about the estimated $10 billion in 1980 dollars that the Marcos family were accused of stealing. Will this administration continue to run after that? Because only about $4 billion has been returned. I mean, there are so many tough questions. So, TBD, let's see what happens. But, you know, while I hope for the best, we also have to be ready for the worst.
We just have a few minutes left, and I want to get to Russia, because you shared the Nobel Peace Prize with Dmitry Muratov, the editor-in-chief of a newspaper that had been critical of Vladimir Putin and the Russian government. It was forced to suspend operations because of the new laws restricting how the media in Russia can report on the invasion, the war in Ukraine, though they're not allowed to say that word. Muratov was attacked with chemicals. Can you understand his decision to suspend this paper until the war is over?
Absolutely. If you can't work as a journalist, then you whitewash, then you become, you sanitize the lack of democracy, right? So definitely, there comes a point when you can no longer be an independent journalist. And, you know, I hope my country doesn't go there. But, you know, I've warned, starting in 2016, I began really telling Americans that what is happening to us is coming for you. We're only the beginning, right? As a former colony of the United States, the Philippines somehow has been the testing ground for attacks against America and its democracy. The 9/11 attacks were tested. Some of those tactics of getting through airport security were tested in the Philippines in 1994. That was my first really big story, tracking that network. And now, the attack on your minds and on your emotions. These, according to the Cambridge Analytica whistleblower, were tested in the Philippines. Facebook agreed we were ground zero. So where we go, you go. So please guard your democracy.
And thank you for helping us do that. Just briefly, do you have a threshold in your own, I don't know, like that you would reach where you say, you know what, it's time to shut down the Rappler?
When we can, yeah, absolutely. Like Dimitri, you know, it's going to be when we can no longer be independent journalists. And what is that? Dimitri said, I can't use the word war to describe a war, right? Look, to a small degree, American journalists have had to deal with this by, like, when President Trump lied. Do you call it a lie or not? Call it a lie. Yeah. You call a spade a spade. So, yes, I hope we don't get there, but please help us. Help yourselves. Help us. Where America goes, the world goes.
Maria Ressa, Nobel Peace Prize winner, thank you so much for your time.